If I can get my phone to open. Nailed it. Turn over to Genesis 15, please, verse 1. You can pull it up in the King James, that's fine. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto who?
Abram.
Amen. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto who?
Abram
in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy what? And thy what?
Exceeding great reward."
Hallelujah. Y'all know I listen to quite a few people. Right, but Dr. Leroy Thompson, he researched this, right? And after his research, he found it to say that I am your rapidly increasing money supplier. I am your rapidly increasing money supplier. Amen. I am your rapidly increasing money supplier. Amen. That's excellent. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your rapidly increasing money supplier. That's what God told Abraham. And we have a covenant with God, don't we? Once we're saved, we're joint heirs, ain't we? And the blessing of God is on us, right? Was the blessing of God on Abraham? Amen. It was on Abram first, had to change his name to Abraham, right? That way he realized what the blessing was and what it meant to him and what it would produce for him. Amen. And so God taught him how to what? Be wealthy. How to be rich. Amen. And so we should have kept that throughout these years. Amen. I said we should have kept that throughout these years. Because if we have the same covenant, not Abraham's covenant, it's God, his blessing that's on us, right? So we have the blessing from God, not Abraham's blessing. We have God's blessing on us. And it, you know what blessing means? It's empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. That's what blessing means. And so we should have kept that throughout the years, but we haven't, and that's all right. We're getting back to it. Hallelujah. But you know you got to be taught to be poor. Amen. I said you got to be taught to be poor. You really do. You got to learn to live with it. You got to know that things are so expensive you can't buy nothing, that you got to go to college if you want a good job. Amen. Amen. But why? See, we revert back to the world system so many ways we don't even realize it. Amen. So we're so ingrained with how the world operates, which I'm not saying just float around and act crazy. Amen. I said don't just float around and act crazy. Amen. Do what the Word of God says and it'll produce everything that you need in your life. That's just the easiest way to say it. The blessing of God is on us and it will produce everything that we need. And if God doesn't have it, he'll make it. There was a girl down in Southeast Texas at my cousin's church. She was believing God for a scholarship to go to this college. They told her, "We don't have a scholarship." She said, "All right," and they prayed. Guess what happened? They created a scholarship just for her. Created it. They don't have it. We don't have this. We don't have a scholarship for you. Sorry. That's all right. She didn't leave crying, didn't leave upset, didn't leave feeling like she was being attacked by somebody. She left and said, "All right, I'll be right back." Believed God and stood on it, regardless of what it looked like in the natural, because the natural will tell you that you're about to fail. You're not getting in. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You didn't go to the right schools. Your parents were poor. Why do you think you deserve this? First off, I'm an heir and a joint heir. Amen. So everything that belongs to Jesus that God created belongs to me as well. And it's up to me if I want to enjoy it or not. I can look at everybody else enjoying it and then get mad. Or I can just jump in with them and enjoy it as they do. Amen. Amen. We'll stop. Amen. Because we can. Amen. Hallelujah. I like talking about prosperity. Amen. Because I was broke, but we ain't no more. I'm making Chelsea a customs license plate. It's going to say Po No Mo. Amen. Amen. Po No Mo. See, I've been on the other side. Well, no, you haven't. Look how you're dressing. You know, when I moved here, I had two suits, and that's what I wore for the first about 3 or 4 years was two suits. Amen. We ain't there no more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessing of God that's on us. The empowerment to prosper. Amen. Hallelujah. And putting it into use. Using that empowerment for our benefit, because that's what it's for. Amen. And it's not for us to hoard. We're blessed to be what? A blessing. Helping everybody out that we can. A blessing. Amen. Not always looking for a handout, but always looking who we can hand out to. Right? Amen. All right. So we'll stop now. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you. And we thank you, Father God, for the tithe and the offering. And we thank you it will produce everything that it needs to produce. And I thank you, Father God, for your wisdom in mine and Chelsea's lives and in the board. Father God, helping us with the decisions on how to operate, not on how to operate the church, but just wisdom in the finances. Wisdom in the finances, Father God. And we thank you for it and praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, everybody agreed. Say, amen. Almost fell out, choked. Excuse me. Amen.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing.
Okay, say it.
Of course, happy Mother's Day. You can stay up here. Nope. Moms, we do have a gift from the Ladies Life Ministry that we do have here as when we leave, when we are dismissed later on after the message. There is a table set up, and they worked really hard on getting these things together. So take one, and it's a little pot plant. I don't know, potted little.
Potted.
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 Oh! No!
I wish y'all could have seen some of y'all's faces. Y'all went.
Potted.
I want one.
A plant that you put in a pot has a seed, has a little pot, a potted plant. I don't know. I can't show you guys now. I'm like, hallelujah, glory to God. We need to call an altar call right now. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. I'll just be quiet now, and we are ready to get into the Word of God. Amen.
Oh, man. That was about the funniest thing I've seen in a while. That was amazing. Oh, my Lord. I really wish y'all could have seen some of y'all's faces. Man. Because as soon as she said a pot plant, I looked up immediately. Because I wanted to see. Because I knew y'all was thinking exactly what I was thinking. You bunch of heathens. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. Oh, man. Oh, it was funny, though. Man, golly, that was funny. I don't even know where to go from there. Amen. Oh, that was hilarious. Oh, man. Amen. But we do want to, would all the mothers please stand up, if you don't mind? We'd like to tell y'all thank you for being great moms. Amen. Good job on dealing with people like me as a mother. Good job, seriously. Because I know how I was as a kid. And if you have a kid that was like me, great job. Great job. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can turn over to Ephesians 3:20, please. Amplified Classic. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Father God, for the helper, the Holy Ghost. I thank you, sir. We ask you to unveil and reveal truths to us this morning from your word. And I thank you, Father God, not my will, but your will be done this morning. Not what I want to say, but what you would have, not only for the congregation, but also for myself. And I thank you, Father God, that we will be changed from this moment forward. We will put to practice the words that we hear this morning from your word and start implementing them into our lives daily. And I thank you, Father God, just because we might not think we understand something or might not think it belongs to us, I thank you we won't throw it away to the side, but we'll just keep it. We'll continue to meditate on it until we get further light on it, until we begin to understand it a little more. But I thank you, Father God, for the Helper, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father God, for him here to help us this morning. Amen. Here to help us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen. Amen. Excuse me, sorry, I keep coughing in it. Now to him. Who's him? Amen. Can y'all hear me? This thing. Did I push it off? Oh, no. There it is. Sorry. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work where? Yes. Amen. Is at work where? Yes. Amen. Amen. Is able. Say able. Able to carry out whose purpose? Yes. Amen. And do what? Hallelujah. Far over and above all. Say all. That we dare ask, but not just ask. What else? Amen. Amen. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers. Then what? Desires. Whatever you're desiring. Yep. Desires. Amen. Well, I desire another house. Well, thank God we got scripture for it. Desires. Thoughts, hopes, or what else? Hallelujah. See, as a kid, they can dream pretty crazy. Right? Y'all ever played with kids before? Hopefully you have. But, you know, they play like the floor is lava. They you know, growing up, we'd get on my dad's back and he'd play like he is a bull. And we'd ride him in the living room, right? I mean, we just had a ball as kids because we never allowed the situation we were in to confine us. That's a good word. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Confine us. Keep us there. Amen. We were always able to dream bigger. Amen. Always able to dream bigger. Amen. And so that's what we need to do as adults as well. Not just stay conformed to where we think we're supposed to be living or why we're living here or whatever, but just start dreaming. Start dreaming again. Start dreaming again. Start dreaming again. Because what does a dream cost you? Nothing. Nothing. So I might as well dream as big as I want to dream. Amen. Amen. I did write this down, that some things might mark you, but it doesn't mean it should define you. Amen. Amen. Now, some younger people might not understand it, but some of the older people might know some people that was in the Depression. Yeah. How that marked that generation. Yes. Amen. Right? Because some of them, they just tighter than any all get out. Yeah. Why? Because the thought was, well, what if another depression happens? Yeah. I want to make sure I got some money this time, because last time I almost starved. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Things like that in our life will mark us if we allow it. But it doesn't have to define us, right? Yeah. Just because it marks us, though, it doesn't mean it's got the ability to define us. We give it the ability to define us, right? Just because we might have grew up poor doesn't mean that we should be living like that. Right? Amen. Just because of, and it's like somebody might not want to buy a house right now. Well, you know, what happened in 2008, the market was doing the same thing. Well, what does that have to do with God? Amen. And Ephesians 3:20. What does that have to do with it? If that's the desire of your heart, then go for it. Amen. I'm not just saying go out there blindly. Get the word of God underneath your feet. That way you got a good firm foundation, right? And even though some storms or something might show up, you're still standing.
Yes, sir.
Right? I think it was last Monday I called my brother, my younger brother, Levi. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, can you hear that? I was like, no. He's like, oh, there's a tornado out going past our house right now. Right? They was all in my dad's basement. I don't know why I just said that. What was I talking about before that?
Standing on the word.
Yeah, standing on the word. So, that's it. So they had a safe place. Thank you. So they had a safe place, even though the storms came and was going right past the house, it didn't affect them. Because they had the foundation there to hold them, to keep them secure and safe. And that's exactly what the Word of God does. Amen. But if I'm standing on the Word for 1 second and then I'm off the Word for 5 seconds, then what am I doing? I'm not doing anything productive. I'm just going back and forth. I'm just wearing myself out. I'm getting tired and I'm getting frustrated. Well, I thought this faith stuff works. It does. But if I'm going back and forth, I'm just getting myself tired and frustrated. That's it. Amen. We're doing good on time. Hallelujah. All right. God doesn't work with me based on what he can do. Amen. He works with me based on what I can believe him for.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because that's what Ephesians 3:20 says. It says, according to the power that worketh where?
Within us.
Yeah. What's that power? That word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Right? The power that worketh within us. So if I'm able to believe God for it, if I've got the word of God on the inside of me, what's the boundaries? There's not none. God never set a boundary one time. Just like the Israelites, he told them, he said, well, if you want it, go get it.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say, hey, you just can only go to that tree and stop.
That's right.
Right? He said, if you want it, there it is.
Yeah.
Right? There was this minister. I was listening to my dad the other day. He went down to Texas to a meeting and stuff, and he was visiting with his minister. And they were talking, and this minister told him they got a house they were believing God for. And he was telling my dad, he said, yeah, God told me, he said to go to get a realtor, to go inside the house and to leave my words there. But see, number one, I can't do that because God didn't tell me to do that. I can't do something based off a word that God gave somebody else. Right? I got to be led for myself. Right? But I found it interesting that God told him, said, go leave your words there. And with a short amount of time, they had the house.
Yeah.
See, whatever we're doing, we're leaving our words there.
Amen.
So are they producing what I've been speaking lately?
Amen.
At my job?
Yes.
Amen. Are they producing at my job? Well, nobody there likes me. God, everybody frustrates me. Everybody just wants to get me upset. And then you go into work every day and get upset. And then you're like, why is this happening? Because wherever we're going, we're leaving our words. What are my words doing whenever I leave them? They're producing. That's what they're doing. They are producing.
Yes, they are.
Producing, that's the word. Producing, that ain't the right word. You've been trying to give me some of that pot plant, apparently. Just so y'all know, never going to live that down. I'm going to bring it up every chance I get. What else? I mean, that's what husbands are right. Good for, right? Come on, man. Amen. But wherever we're at, what are our words doing? They are producing. Seriously, look at where you're living. Look at your house. Look at your life. Look at your job. And start thinking, what have I been speaking at these places? And then you'll start realizing, well, that's exactly how things are going. It's what I've been speaking. That's amazing. Because God made us what? Speaking spirits, right? Amen. I say God made us what? In the likeness and the image of him, which is a speaking spirit, correct? Because how was the world, earth, and the earth created? And if we're made in the likeness and image of him. Amen. We do the same thing, right? But he told him, he said, go in the house and leave your words. Amen. So start checking up on where you're leaving your words at and what your words are.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Start checking up on what your words are, right? Amen. Amen. I agree. All right, so supernatural. All right, I'm going to read it to you real fast. Supernatural. Super means over and above, beyond, higher, surpassing, or outside the natural realm.
Yes.
Something that comes to you outside this natural, human, limited realm.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Limited. Amen. Natural means lower or below or limited to the earthly realm. Amen. Amen. Conforming to the ordinary course of nature. That's natural. It is something deduced by human reason alone rather than by divine revelation.
Right.
Amen. It is something deduced by human reason alone rather than by divine revelation. Amen. Supernatural is over above the ordinary course of nature. Amen. Amen. Supernatural provision means unlimited, overwhelming supply that comes from above.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Supernatural provision supersedes the impossible.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Supernatural provision supersedes the impossible.
Yes, amen.
Amen. We're doing excellent on time. Thank you, God. Go to Numbers 11, please. Do we have the Living Translation? Thank you. I'm messing with you. I saw y'all shake your head. I'm just messing with you. Numbers 11. We'll start about verse 11, please. And Moses said to the Lord, "Why are you treating me, your servant, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve the burden of all these people? Did I give birth to them? Did I bring them into the world? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms like a mother carries a nursing baby? How can I carry them to the land you swore to give their ancestors? Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? They keep whining to me, saying, 'Give us what?'"
Meat.
Amen. Who are we talking about right now? The Israelites?
Right?
Yeah. And they're whining and they're saying, "Give us what? Meat to eat." Because they've been eating manna, right?
Yes.
Amen. I agree. Next. "I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy." Correct?
Yes.
"If this is how you intended to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me this misery." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone."
Amen.
Amen. "And say to the people, 'Purify yourselves, for tomorrow you will have what? You were what?"
Whining.
Yeah, how many of us have done that? "You were whining, and the Lord heard you when you cried. Oh, for some meat. We were better off in Egypt." I don't know why they always reverted back to Egypt, to slavery. Man. They allowed that to impact their lives tremendously, and they wouldn't go with God, even though they seen the miraculous every day. It wasn't just once a month; every single day, the miraculous, supernatural provision. "Now the Lord will give you meat and you will have to eat it. And it won't be for just a day or two or for 5 or 10 or even 20. You will eat it for a whole month until you gag and are sick of it. The message says you'll eat it so much until you puke it out of your nose. For you have rejected the Lord. How'd they reject the Lord? By whining and complaining. They didn't say God, they didn't literally say, God, we reject you. But by the other words, even though the supernatural provision was laid out for them, they still rejected God by whining. You are sick of it. For you have rejected the Lord. Who is here among you, and you have whined to him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses responded to the Lord, there are 600,000 foot soldiers here with me, and yet you say, I will give them meat for a what?
Whole month.
Even if we butchered all our flocks and herds, would that satisfy them? Even if we caught all the fish, where?
In the sea.
How many fish are in the sea? So there's 600,000 men. That's not including the women and children, right? So that's a lot of people, correct? Yeah, amen. And so now, first off, you can tell where Moses' choking point was. Right? Because he said, we got to butcher all the animals? Or you want us to catch all the fish in the sea? And that's probably still not going to be enough. Amen. Go ahead. Then the Lord said to Moses, has my arm what? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true.
Amen.
So Moses went out and reported the Lord's words to the people. He gathered the 70 elders and stationed them around the tabernacle. Then you can go to verse 30. Then Moses returned to the camp with the elders of Israel. Now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp for miles in every direction. There were quail flying about what?
3 feet above the ground.
Amen. So the people went out and caught quail all that day. And throughout the night and all when? That sounds like whenever Jehoshaphat went out. How long were they gathering?
3 days.
No one gathered less than 50 bushels. They spread the quail all around the camp to dry. But while they were themselves on the meat, while it was still in their mouths, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people and struck them with a severe plague. You can stop there. Actually, go to 34. So that place was called that word, which means graves of gluttony, because there they buried the people who craved meat from Egypt. Amen. So in the message, it talks about that the quail came in. In the message, it talks about the quail came in 3 feet deep. That's how much meat, that's how many quail were there. Can y'all imagine walking around at 3 feet of quail? And it said, as far as your eyes could see. How much meat is that? And they had to gather it for 3 days. That's a whole lot of quail. A lot of quail. But whenever Moses started talking about, we got to butcher all these animals? Or is there even enough fish in the sea to feed these people? He's trying to figure out how to help God do what God wants to do for the people.
Amen.
Right? Because that's why he's like, God, there's not even enough fish in the sea. Why are you making them a promise? How are we going to make it come to pass? First off, what do you mean we? Because has God ever needed our help? Then why do we try to help him? Well, God, if you do it this way. Amen. Amen. We was going good earlier. Amen. Yeah, we're back. Amen. Moses was trying to fulfill God's promise instead of allowing God to do it. Amen. That's what it says in verse 21. Can you just pull up 21, please? But Moses responded to the Lord, there are 600,000 people here with meat, and you say, I will give them meat for a whole month. Pull that up in the living. Do we have the living? No, just living. You don't have the living? It says, there are 600, right there at the second sentence, it says, and yet you promised them meat for a whole what?
Month.
Let me grab mine. And then it's in verse 22, sorry, it says, if we butcher all our flocks and herds, it won't be enough. We would have to catch every fish in the ocean to fulfill your promise. So Moses is trying to fulfill God's promise by doing stuff. And God didn't say, hey, look, we're going to give them meat. All right? I'm going to need you to get everybody and just start making fishing poles like nobody's business. All right? Everybody and their mama needs at least 3 fishing poles because it's about to get crazy out here. I'm going to bring the fish to you, but you're going to have to catch all the fish in the ocean. I'd probably never be another fish on earth because y'all about to eat them all, but let's go ahead and make it happen. Amen. I just found that very interesting that Moses was really trying to figure out, was trying to help God fulfill his promise to the people. And how many times do we do that, though?
Amen.
You know, how many times do we try to help God fulfill his promise to the people? Growing up, well, when I was here, Layla was believing God for a guinea pig. Was it a guinea pig? Guinea pig. And she sold something, right? What'd she sow? Oh, to you, huh? The white one. Wasn't it the white tiger? I think it's to Sophia. She sowed it, not sold. Y'all know what I'm saying, S-O-W, right? Sold it to Sophia, and one day I told Chelsea, I said, well, if Layla doesn't get this, we'll just buy 4. But I'm trying to teach her how to believe God for stuff and to operate in the Word of God. But yet I'm saying, you know, if God doesn't come through, Chelsea, we'll buy 4. And so I had to go back and tell Chelsea, look, don't listen to a word I said. Remember that conversation?
Yeah. Amen.
I said, because number one, I'm saying God doesn't have the ability to do it.
Yeah.
And we're trying to teach them how to, what believing God, what it looks like, and how to operate in it, and how to sow seed and reap a harvest. But yet I'm trying to do God's side.
Amen.
Let God do his side and you do your side. Amen. And it wasn't that much longer after that.
It was that day when I went to work.
Oh, sorry. It was that day when Chelsea went to work. A lady is like, man, we got this. I don't even know what happened. Tell it, please. I'll probably lie if I tell it. I'll just make up a story. And we was running down the road and about 40 of them came out of the bushes.
So we're trying to teach her about... planting seed. When there's a need, you plant a seed, amen. And so she was wanting a guinea pig, and which was fine with us, but she had a belief for one.
Yeah.
So we had this conversation, like you just said. I go to work that same day, and another lady that comes in, she had a son. He's getting older, and he's like, do you know anybody that needs a guinea pig? I'm like, actually, we just had this conversation. Yes, we will take that guinea pig, and God provided. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it wasn't,
yeah.
We'd have had nothing
a
to do with it.
A cage and everything. Everything, a cage, bed, feed, everything that the guinea pig needed, it was there. Everything. So we didn't just get a guinea pig, but we got all the things that come along with a guinea pig. We didn't have to go buy anything out of our pocket. Hallelujah. God provided. Amen. And that's exactly how we need to teach our kids, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 78 real fast, please. Pull that up in the Passion, would you?
Yes.
Thank you. Psalm 78, about verse 36. Sorry, I didn't tell you that. But their repentance lasted only as long as they were in what? Amen. But their repentance lasted only as long as they were what?
In danger.
Amen. That's how some people operate in life. And then they wonder why they go from victory to calamity. Victory to calamity. Victory to calamity. But more calamity than victory. They lied through their teeth to the true God of what? A very, very important word. Very important word. If you don't know what covenant means, you really need to study covenant. Really need to study covenant. Covenant is not a promise. Covenant is not a promise, right? Covenant is one-sided. Or a promise is one-sided. But a covenant requires something from both people. Promise is one-sided. A covenant requires something from both parties. Amen. So quickly, they wandered away from his what? His covenant. Following God with their words and not what? See, it's easy. You can always see the people that do that, though. Right? Growing up, I did a little bit. You know, I could talk a little bit in the church, you know, but I'll go out on that crazy Saturday night and Friday night. Amen. Following God with their words, amen. You know, everything sounds right, but you know, it's like whenever somebody comes up and they're like, "Man, we just need some help," and everything, you know, they're doing everything right. It sounds like, I'm talking about, they can talk good. They can tell you what you need to hear, man, and you'll be like, "Man, they are believing God. What is going on?" You know, does faith work? See, because people can just use words, but their hearts, nowhere near their words. Amen. Their worship was only what? Flattery. Next, please. Let me see. Actually, go to 40. Please, go to 40. How many times they rebelled in the desert days, how they grieved him with their what? Complaining grieves God. And I was actually, I was looking that up. Grieves right there where it was talking about God. And it talked about like it hurt God's heart. It hurt God's heart. Why? Because he's trying to save them. He's given them everything that they need every single day, but yet they won't acknowledge him. They will not acknowledge him or thank him or nothing. And it hurt his heart. How many times they rebelled in the desert days, how they grieved him with their grumblings. Again and again they limited God. Preventing Preventing. That's not allowing. Preventing him from what? Continually, they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. Amen. I looked up the word limited. It means bounded, restrained, restricted, and confined within. Bounded, restrained, restricted, and confined within. Amen. I want to show y'all a video real fast. I'm sure all of y'all know who Brother and Sister Copeland are. Amen. And who Pastor George Pierce is. That's their son-in-law. But they talk about a minister over in Nigeria, Bishop Oyedepo. I think I'm saying it right. I've been listening to him for a while. Excellent. Excellent. It's hard to understand him, obviously, because of the accent. So I feel y'all's pain when I talk, right? But he's got it. It's really great. I'm going to let y'all listen to this for a minute.
I think I'm going to read it again.
So let's take a look at this feature, and then Gloria and I will be right back, and we'll pick up on the secrets of kingdom prosperity.
Praise God.
Bishop David Oyedepo and his wife Faith are the founders of Living Faith Church Worldwide, also known as Winner's Chapel, in Ogun State, Nigeria. In the spring of 2017, Brother Copeland traveled there once again to minister and to celebrate the 36th anniversary of the vision that God gave Bishop Oyedepo in May of 1981. After being miraculously healed of tuberculosis at a young age, David committed his life to the passionate study of God's Word. It was during these early years of spiritual growth that he first discovered the teachings of T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Hagin, and eventually Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
For the first time I saw kingdom prosperity in its raw form. Now, 1982, I went out with his book, The Law of Prosperity, and Gloria's book, God's Will is Prosperity, and my Bible, asking the Lord, show me the secret of kingdom prosperity. I went to a fast, 3-day fast, searching, praying, reading. On the third day, the heavens opened, and that opened up my destiny to a new realm. What did God say? My son David, my prosperity plan is not a promise, so it does not answer to prayers. It's not a promise, it has no respect for fasting. My prosperity plan is a covenant. Until your part is played, I'm not committed. Very clear. That gave me a very robust insight of what the covenant is all about.
In May of 1998, over 500 acres were purchased in the jungles of Nigeria, and construction began on a massive 50,000-seat tabernacle. The first phase of construction was built at a cost of $250 million, and it was completed in 1 year, debt-free, without the need of any American funds. It has since been listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest church auditorium in the world. By the time that Kenneth and Gloria visited the church in 2008, it had grown to over 2,000 acres, with even more on the horizon. Today, the entire Canaan Land campus sits on nearly 17,000 acres and employs a staff of 16,000 people. It includes several on-site banks, a gas station, the Hebron Water Bottling Plant, and more. The Canaan Land Bakery bakes 3,000 loaves of bread every day. It is then distributed throughout the campus and in the neighboring community. It may seem hard to imagine worshiping with 54,000 people, but this church does that 5 times every Sunday. With thousands more in the outside overflow, the average weekly attendance at Faith Tabernacle routinely touches anywhere from 350,000 to 400,000 people. And with thousands of new converts coming into the kingdom every week, that number continues to climb. Within a 6-month span of 2015, 138,000 new members were added to the church. In December of 2016, construction was completed on the latest building at Canaan Land, the new Dominion Publishing House print facility. This state-of-the-art print shop is where all of Bishop Oyedepo's books, study Bibles, and other materials are created. While there, Brother Copeland had the honor of praying a prayer of dedication over the facility and the workers that run the large printing press. In 2015, the church unveiled plans for the new state-of-the-art Faith Theater, which includes indoor seating for up to 100,000 people per service. This massive addition to the Canaanland campus will include a new international headquarters for the ministry, children's facilities for up to 10,000 kids per service, a new multi-story Dominion bookstore, outdoor prayer booths, and a baptistry. Plans also include an audio-video theater, a food court, and a full shopping mall. The Word of Faith Bible Institute will be on site with facilities for up to 3,000 students. From very modest beginnings to the founding of the largest church in the world, Bishop David Oyedepo and his wife Faith are living proof that the Word works anywhere it's put to work in faith.
Amen. So that's in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Amen. One of the poorest places on earth.
Yeah.
It's in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But yet in 1 year, and I love the fact that they pointed out without any help from American money.
Yeah.
So that means them.
Yeah.
But yet they're supposed to be poor.
Yeah.
They didn't know that.
Right.
They didn't know that. They didn't understand that. So 250 million. It's hard for us to comprehend. In 1 year. Debt free. Five services a day. 54,000 people per service. And it's more than that because we ain't got time to let it continue playing. But Miss Gloria talks about outside where it talked about the big seating area. They got another 50,000 chairs outside with a big screen for the overflow.
Yeah.
So there's 50,000 inside, and then 54,000 inside, and 50-something thousand outside each service.
Yeah.
And yet we struggle sometimes paying the water bill.
Yeah.
But we're growing.
Yes.
We are growing. See, we got to. That's why I wanted to read Ephesians 3:20 at the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because he just got into the Word, figured out that prosperity is not a promise.
Right.
It's not a promise. It's a what?
Covenant.
A covenant.
Yes.
And see, once we accept Jesus into our lives, we're part of a covenant. And God will do His part every single time we do ours. Every single time. You can see. Because they don't need our money. I heard him say one time, he said, you know, I feel sorry for the American people because you got so many ways to borrow money. He said, I've never had the opportunity, so I just learned what the Word said and went with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but that blesses me every time I watch it. I've been watching it quite a bit here lately. Because of the impact that they're making on that country.
Yeah.
The impact they are making. Well, why do you need all that money? Do you not realize how many people they're helping?
Yeah.
Now they got gas stations on their land.
Yeah.
Banks. It didn't say bank. It said banks on their land. They're making bread for not just the people that work there, but for the villages surrounding.
Yeah.
What impact is that doing on the villages then? Not only that, they got their own bottled water company. So if there's something, you know, a lot of times the natural world will try to pull on your heartstrings because some of us are compassionate. Not some of us. We should be compassionate, right? I said some of. sorry. But they'll show you, you know, well, these kids are starving over here in Africa. Look at them. I'd much rather give to him than to them because I don't know what they're doing, but I know the impact that he's doing in that land. All because he got into the Word of God. He said, I'm going to figure out what belongs to me. Hallelujah. And so he did. And now, I mean, y'all saw how big that was, right? 250 million, how long? 1 year. 1 year. Debt-free.
Yeah.
Debt-free. And then I asked Zoe earlier, I was like, what do you think about watching 10,000 kids? She goes, we'd have to do a head count every 5 minutes. She's like, 'cause I don't even know where they're going. But the impact that they are making in that country. Amen. You know, the water distribution, the food distribution, the impact that they are making in that country. You can't tell me. Amen. Amen. Go over to Deuteronomy 29, please. Pull it up in the Amplified. We'll start about verse 9. So, amen. I showed y'all that just to show you that, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, why do they need all that money? Well, first off, if it belongs to us, then it's ours. Amen. I said, if it belongs to us, then it's ours. But if you don't know something belongs to you, then you ain't even going to partake of it. You're not, right? But he learned about it. He said, you know what? It belongs to us. And he's over in Nigeria, right? Over there. And I love that it said right in the middle of the jungle.
Yes. Amen.
Right in the middle of a jungle.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. Go ahead. You're up. 29:9. Say that three times real fast. Therefore, keep the words of what? Of this covenant and do them, that they may deal wise. Do them that you may deal what? Wisely and what? In all that what? Amen. So therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may deal wisely and prosper in all that you do. Right? That sounds, well, keep the words of the covenant and do them, right? And then the laws of prosperity will work in the life of any believer who is obedient to God's word. Amen. The laws of prosperity will work in the life of any believer who is obedient to God's word. Amen. Turn over to Joshua 1:8, please, because that sounds a lot like Joshua 1:8, so we might as well read Joshua 1:8. You can pull it up in the New King James or the NIV, or I'll do the New King James, that's fine. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Amen. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way what? And then you will have what? And then you will have good success. The word of God will produce just as far as you dare commit it. Commit to it. Amen. The word of God will produce just as far as you dare commit to it. Unless you act against the world order with the word of God, your mouth will speak from experience, circumstances, and tradition. Amen. Unless you act against the world order with the word of God, your mouth will speak from experience, circumstances, and tradition. Amen. Amen. Well, what do you mean, experience, circumstances, or tradition? You know, it's like growing up, you are just watching the news or anything like that. If you pay attention to a lot of that stuff, then great example of me, whenever Chelsea said, you know, I'm going to start my business, she quit the up there at Laughlin Ranch, and then one day we got a bill. She's like, hey, we got a bill. I said, well, you're going to have to get a job. See, experiences kicked in. Tradition kicked in. We're going to have to go out in the world and try to figure out how we can get this, because the word of God ain't big enough. That's exactly what I mean by experience, tradition, or circumstances. See, if we allow circumstances, they'll get us to start leaving words around that are producing death and not life. Amen. That are producing lack and not overflow. Amen. But if we catch it and pay attention to it, well, I've been speaking death or lack. Well, that's fine. Just repent of it. Curse that seed. Command it to die and drop at the roots. And then just move forward. Amen. That's all I do. To change your words, you must first change the source. Amen. To change your words, you must first change the source. Amen. To change your words, you must first change the source. See, I can tell if I'm not spending enough time in the Word, I can tell immediately. Especially if a circumstance or something comes up. Because what is the first thing I say? Is it making me mad? Did I lose my joy? Because why am I giving somebody the power to steal something from me that doesn't belong to them? Am I speaking lack? Am I going, I don't know what we're going to do? Then I haven't been in the Word. I can always tell if I'm not in the Word enough. Or if what I've been looking at, you know, Facebook, Marketplace, or whatever. You know, you get on them little rabbit trails on YouTube, you know. I've seen some guys just get on it and just spend all day on there and go, what happened?
Yeah.
You just kept watching. That's what happened, yeah. Right? And if we allow that, then I don't know how much Word will be in there.
Yeah.
Because the source that we're watching right now, that's what's about to come out.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Y'all doing all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Inconsistency lies the power. Inconsistency lies the power. Be consistent in only saying faith words. Amen. Be consistent in only saying faith words. Amen. I'll just read this real fast and we'll shut it down. Deuteronomy 8:18, please. You can pull it up in the Amplified or the NIV. Deuteronomy 8:18 NIV. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who what?
Gives you the ability.
Amen. For it is he.
Yes.
It is he. It is he. It is he. Who gives you the ability to produce wealth. For it is he. Who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his what? And so confirms his covenant. What's his covenant? Amen. See, we got to know what his covenant is, right? Well, I know it's a kingdom prosperity. I know it's divine health. I know I get to live in victory. Yes, ma'am. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to our ancestors as it is today. Amen. The blessing, right? On Abraham, Isaac, and right? The blessing that's on us. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. The ability. You know, I can, and by that, you know, the ability, God gives us an ability. But what do we do with that ability growing up? What does a football player or a sports player do growing up with that ability that they have? They practice. They fine-tune that bad boy. They fine-tune it. That's why mechanics, that I mean, they'll just get in it. They'll fix stuff. They know what to do because they've been working on it. When I was in the Army, I was one of my buddies, O'Duff. That was his last name, obviously, because you went by last names, right? He'd do I think it was the quarter-mile races, and he could get up beside a car, listen to it, and go, yeah, that time is just off on that. It was amazing to watch him working on the car, but he fine-tuned that ability, right? He got into, he either studied it, he watched videos on it, he learned from somebody, but he got to where he was very knowledgeable in that. Right? It's just like people that want to cook, what do? They go to school sometimes, right? Accounting, what do? They'll go to colleges or whatever, right? Why? Because they're fine-tuning that ability. They're learning it. Why don't we act that same way with the Word of God? Get in there and fine-tune the ability. Fine-tune the Word of God on our heart. That way we're speaking correctly, right? Faith words and not lack words. Not doubt words. Not death words, right? Because once we get into the Word of God and really just start studying it and find it out, it'll change a nation. Look at Bishop Oedipo. Oedipo. Po. I said poo. Say that three times real fast. Mess you up every time. I think I say his name different every time I say it too, by the way. But look at what happened with him. Because what? He got into the Word. He didn't go to the world.
No. No. Amen.
He didn't go to the world and figure out how he could do this.
Yeah.
How can I build a church? Who can I get money from?
Yeah.
Where can I get a loan from? I'm not saying that that's bad. Amen. They just didn't have the ability to do it, so he had to solely rely on the Word of God. Sometimes we just need to make ourselves solely rely on the Word of God and not look to the natural to be able to do something for us. Amen. Sometimes we just solely need to rely on the Word of God and not look to a bank to loan us money for something. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying it's bad. Once again, if that's fine. We got a loan for a house. It's fine. Amen. But let's make sure that we don't stay here our entire lives. Let's just continue to feed on the Word of God and move forward with it. That way we don't have to rely on the world system, but just on God's system. Right? Because $250 million in 1 year for a church is unbelievable. And to the natural mind, we're going, how? They don't have jobs. Probably, maybe some of them do. But it's in 1 year, $250 million. Me to think about $1 million in 1 year is just... or even $500,000 in 1 year, right? That's what some people think, but amen, amen. Amen. Whenever we first moved here, we seen a house, what was it, 400, something like that? We almost wrecked. They want 400 for that? Yeah, we ain't there no more. Amen. But it's not just living every day that grows that up. It's the Word of God, because you start seeing how God operates. You start realizing the covenant that you have with God. And if you do your part, He does His part every single time. But it takes two people. Amen. It takes two people. I can't just ask God to do His part and me do nothing. Amen. And a lot of it is tithe, to be honest with you. Which kicks that covenant into just motivation and moving forward. Amen. It's tithing, right? Amen. But let's make sure we're getting to that place to where we're able to do that like they did. Amen. Because, I mean, just, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. Well, you're just talking about him a lot. I know, but we need to understand how big this is. We really do. Amen. But the thing I love about it the most is God is not a respecter of person. And if they're reaching 350 to 400,000 people 1 week, what can we do in this area? What can we do in this area? How can we help the community out? Amen. And amen. Amen. And we will change this place. Hallelujah. Real fast, a couple things that he said at the end. He said, "My son, my prosperity plan is not a promise. So it does not answer to prayers." Amen. Amen. He said, "It is not a promise, and so it has no respect for fasting." Amen. And then he said, "My prosperity plan is a covenant. Until your part is played, I am not committed." Amen. And that's God. That's what God told him. And so he said, "You know what? That works for me. I understand covenant, and I know how covenant works. I'll do my part, you do yours." And obviously in 1 year it happened.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But it started off in 1981, right? And now, look at them. Now they're building bigger buildings, and that was in 2015. Bigger building now. The people that they are reaching for the kingdom of God. Amen. What can we do? Amen. We can do the same, right? Is God a respecter of person? No, he is not. Amen. And God gave us the ability to produce wealth. Amen. We do our part. God will do his part every single time. He will be committed, right? Amen. Let me read one more thing. Turn over to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 1:19. In the Living, please. If you, King James says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Right? Amen.
Yeah.
I like this one. It says, if you will only let me help you. If you will only let me help you. Who's saying that? God, not Ricky. If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich. Then I will make you rich. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to read the rest of this because I think we're done. Turn over to Psalms 89. Just real fast, real fast. I'll just read this one. I'll just read this one and I'll quit. Psalms 89, please. 89:34. I can tell y'all are full. Some of y'all are about to fall out. Psalms 89:34. King James is fun. Hallelujah. I'd write this down and make a mental note of this. My covenant will I what?
Not break.
Nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. That's God saying, my covenant I will not break. My covenant I will not break. My covenant I will not break. Amen. Nor alter, change, or change. Right? The thing that has gone out of his lips. So we need to find out what's gone out of his lips. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and thank you, Father God, again, for the word of God helping us, producing in us the things that we need for throughout our lives, Father God, that we're able to meditate on them. And I thank you, Father God, for Deuteronomy 8:18, that you placed you gave us the ability to produce wealth on the inside of us. Not only that, Psalms 89, Father God, your covenant. You said your covenant, you won't break with us. Hallelujah. So as long as we're committed, you are committed. And we thank you for it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said amen. Please, ladies, do not forget about your bags out there on the table. Amen. Me and Pastor Chelsea will meet y'all at the door.